The Lead Icon Podcast.
Shape the future. Lead with purpose. Go iconic.
Samantha, it's wonderful to finally meet you. We've been speaking for a little while now, and I'm so glad that you were able to make some time out of your really busy schedule to join me on the Lead Icon Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Deandra. I'm very excited for today, and I'm mostly excited to share my journey amongst listeners and you know, I guess get the message out there about what I do and to help to connect to your community as well.
Samantha, today we're going to be exploring, you know, the wonderful world of beauty, and in particularly, what's next? What's next for skincare and wellness, especially, you know, moving over the next, say, 10 years? And first, I'd like to start with, like, what you just said, your journey. So about 12 years ago, you quit your job. And is that right? 12 years ago, would we say?
Okay. So I'll go to that period. So I'm now in my mid to late 30s, and I originally started in corporate. I was in finance and then advertising, but I felt like a duck out of water. It just never felt right for me. I always had a vision that I would run my own business. However, I never really knew what sort of business that would be. I grew up in my teens and early 20s with severe cystic acne, and I had very low self-confidence. And I think going through high school and your young 20s with low confidence can really have an impact on your choices that you make in life, but also, you know, it's quite a painful time. So I found myself in my corporate life at 25 running off to skin clinics in my lunch breaks and doing my own thing. And then it was my partner at the time that sort of encouraged me to take the leap and chance to drop out of the corporate world and start studying something that I'm passionate about, which just seemed to land on skin. So having that personal connection for me, it was quite an easy decision. So I started studying my skin studies. I finished those. I then landed a job as a junior dermal therapist in a franchise type clinic. And I worked my way up for years from a junior to senior positions within those companies. And the vision and the light bulb was always there that I wanted to be running my own race and doing my own thing. And then I sort of just cracked one week, I guess. And I said, right, that's it. I know what I want to do now. I've worked with every treatment modality. Beauty to me, you know, we certainly get pushed a narrative. And more is really a set of cosmetic treatments that just didn't align with my beliefs. So I thought there was an opportunity to really launch a skin clinic that focused on pure skin treatments that didn't involve injecting lasers and these harsh treatments that we'd been exposed to for quite a while. And therefore, I launched the Skin Bar in 2020, actually, during the first COVID lockdown. I signed my lease and then as soon as I signed the lease, I think we were in a permanent lockdown at that point. So 5 years later now, 2025, I have 10 clinics throughout Australia. I have 55 staff, and I feel like I'm just getting started.
So you've built the Skin Bar on a completely different competitive model, say, to, you know, your competitors. So you're focusing on accessibility, personalized service, affordability. What is it that helped you identify, I guess, what was occurring in the market and what I guess your customers really needed and wanted?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of working in the clinic certainly gave me that forefront engagement with a lot of clients. And really, I believe all you need to do is listen to what people want and what their feedback is when it comes to opening a business in particular. And the main feedback that I was receiving from customers was, I just feel like another number in these franchises. This isn't personal. Nobody seems to really care. I come here, I booked in for a skin treatment, but they're pushing Botox down my throat. You know, I don't feel like this is a safe space. And I started to, you know, as well, working with so many different modalities, I fell in love with skin needling being the treatment that didn't push this toxin being injectables, that wasn't, you know, pushing lasers. We weren't trying to cross sell. It's like a lot of these models will essentially draw in a customer, but then the objective for that business is to have the customer sort of be a part of all the pillars of the network. So the laser client would be converted to skin and inject as well. And that to me just seems inauthentic. And it's not about the customer, it's generally about, what is the revenue that we can make off this person. So essentially, it's just, when you have an authentic approach and you really listen to people, it goes a long way.
If you can sort of lead us through the skin needling process, I've had quite a few skin needling, treatments, and it's very interesting when you first do it, right? It's like someone's coloring in your face. However, what is the, I guess, the impact of skin needling? Like, how does it work on a person's face, as opposed to, well, let's talk about that first, and then we can talk about the other treatments.
So microneedling has become a very popular treatment for people that are looking to correct their skin texture, reverse sun damage, pigmentation, fine lines and wrinkles. It's a treatment that ticks all the boxes, right? So skin needling works by essentially causing a controlled trauma into the epidermal layer of the skin. And this doesn't mean that you're walking away with bruising or scratching or you're bleeding. What this means is we use a little pet. It's like the size of a pen, right? And doctors and engineers have developed this device to have 12 to 16 micro needles on the end. Now, I can assure you it doesn't hurt. It's an odd sensation, and I usually describe it as having an electric toothbrush rotate across your face for about 10 minutes. And then when you leave, you look like you've had a minor sunburn that day. But what the science is and what we're trying to achieve is an abundance of new growth factors. So by having these little sort of vertical pinpricks into the skin, your body's then reacting and using your regeneration process to start repairing the cells that we've treated. So if I'm treating my whole face and I've done the microneedling here, then what we're doing is then the cells are then responding to that trauma essentially and generating new growth factors. So you're receiving new collagen in all of the areas. You're breaking down pigmentation and scarring. We're lifting out some of this superficial damage. So it's truly a treatment that does it all, and it suits all skin types. It's a monthly treatment, so a lot of women will maybe start with 3 to 6 sessions, and they'll have their collagen induction, and they'll find by the end of the 3 to 6 that they don't need to do the Botox or the inject or have the surgeries. It's about having your best skin and us providing a treatment that essentially firms up the skin without doing any of the nasties.
So when you're going through the skin needling treatment, would you say that there are different clinics have different results based on the technology you use, or would you say that there's a different way? Because say, for example, you'll go to one therapist and they'll perform the treatment, and then you might get a better result. But why do we get these inconsistencies is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I think that's like, one of the problems with trying to scale a business and maybe what the bigger franchises have maybe over time done to have those inconsistencies between our clinics is, I guess, lack of training and education to therapists. When we solely purpose and solely focus, sorry, on one treatment, I'm allowing my therapist to master that treatment and not have a suite of treatments where they might only perform one or two of those treatments a week. So, for example, a busy day in one of my clinics, I could have a therapist performing 15 skin needling sessions, as opposed to working in another business that has that biggest suite of treatments, which is not only overwhelming for the consumer, but also for the therapist, right? So they're getting less practice. But us focusing on skin needling predominantly has allowed us to take a treatment product, master that, but then work with the best, manufacturers, suppliers to ensure that our devices are the latest and greatest. But we're also introducing, global infusions into the treatments, pre-peels, and using all these other things that a lot of skin clinics aren't doing because it's just a treatment on their menu. So I think, like anything, repetition is key. performing a treatment over and over again. It's like that 10,000 hour rule. You can start to really own that and become quite an expert at that treatment.
Yeah, that's so right. 10,000 hours. So with the skin bar, your focus is the needling, and you do peels, and what else do you offer? Or they're your and the infusions. They work great, the infusions, don't they?
Oh, we love it. So we have this, we were the first clinic to introduce these post peels and pre peels into skin needling. So essentially, we have a pre peel for each different skin concern. So whether it's anti-aging, acne, congestion, pigmentation, we perform a pre peel and then we will needle over that area and then apply our infusion of actives at the end. Based, again, this is coming back to being very personal with the treatment plan as well. It's not a one shoe fits all process, which I think a lot of clinics could do. They just assume that the same settings and same infusions are the same, are the best for each client. However, when you customize your treatments, the results are better, and therefore, your community is much happier with their results as well.
So we talked a little, you mentioned injectables, and that's the, I guess, we live in a society now where nobody likes lines, nobody likes wrinkles. Are you seeing a trend away from injectables? Because from what I've seen, you can there's a lot of horror stories that come with injectables if they're not done properly. What trend are you seeing, and what feedback are you getting from your customers with respects to that?
Look, I think the narrative for so long was this focus on inject will fix everything, right? And I have found that people have sort of become fatigued of thinking that inject and fillers are the only options. Clear skin now is a luxury item. It's something that we all desire, right? Having that confidence to have a clearer skin, and also educating people that skin is what you are going to feel more confident with, as opposed to injecting and freezing and then having a skin that you're having to also wear makeup and put fillers over to just filters over, sorry, to just sort of be yourself. But there is a bit of a no-tox movement at the moment, which we're finding. There's a lot of social pages out there. People are sharing their, I guess, negative experiences with having injectables go wrong. And I'm certainly seeing a lot of top plastic surgeons talk about dissolving fillers and the damage of tear trough fillers to regularly stretching this fine area of skin under here as well. But 10 years ago, everybody was doing tear trough fillers, but now it's a big no-no in the industry. So I think as we evolve in the inject industry, people are starting to, discover the negative effects essentially with what these treatments have been doing to people. But also, there's such a focus at the moment on, self-love and longevity as well. And these inject treatments, they really don't focus on the longevity. It's a quick fix. And the buzz at the moment is longevity in, wellness. We're all saunering and ice bathing on trying, focusing on our mental health. And I think skin should be in that category as well, because there is nothing more empowering as a woman to wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and be really satisfied with your skin, with how it is. I don't want to be running out the door, taking the kids to school, and too concerned about my skin and have to apply makeup, just to go to the school run and things like that. So I think I'm hearing a lot of people being time poor, for example, even when they're working, and they're looking for solutions that aren't just going to freeze this and not have a clearer skin or a healthier skin down here as well. So there is a shift for sure.
Okay. I remember when we spoke on the phone a few weeks back, we talked about how, women still find it challenging to go and do something for their self-care, a man, and this is no disrespect to our husbands, brothers, anything like that. We love them all. It's more that they've got that down packed where they will carve out time for themselves. Maybe not everyone, but we do see it more often. And they'll go play golf, or they'll go for a surf, Why do you think women do this poorly?
I mean, I don't know if it's the ideology of, women are responsible for the household and the kids, and therefore, the school runs, and by the time that the week's over, there was no time for them to do any form of self-love because the schedules are so busy. But I, and again, love the men out there, but there has been a lot of, I think, change in women starting to realize that it's not selfish to go and get a facial and work on your skin. It's not a waste of money to correct something on your face that you could be unhappy with. It's like somebody, it's like the guys carving out their 3 hours to play golf. They're doing that for them because they enjoy that. And I think, we need to flip the script a lot more and really empower women to take that time as an investment in themselves, because after having two or three kids, you've really given a lot of yourself to your family household. And if you're not doing something for you that makes you happy, then that filters down to the kids and the family, and then your overall happiness as well. And I certainly find I've got weeks that are busier than others. However, when I do make that time to get a massage or do a sauna or fix a concern on my face or even get my hair done, I'm finding that I feel so much better about that, and I look forward to that during the week. And so therefore, mentally, like I'm in a better place because I'm investing in myself. And I often hear in clinics that women are concerned that their partners or female males think that they're going to think that it's a waste of money. Folk, performing a skin treatment. And I just, I find that sad because it's something that that person really wants to do. And if it means a lot to that person to wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and love what they see, it's certainly not a waste of money.
Yeah, you're right. And especially because we, many of us work in roles that are very public facing, we're being judged, if you want to call it. There's that saying that somebody decides within, 10 seconds whether they like you or dislike you, and it's not about whether, it's not a deep emotional dislike or like, it's just an instant, oh, you feel the energy. So I think if there's a real value in looking after yourself so that not in a superficial way, Samantha, as you and I have spoken about. So are you finding that women are becoming a little bit more comfortable in their skin, and hence why they're going like with this no tox and more self-love and moving towards more, I guess, treatments that give clean skin so that they're working on the inside, I guess where I'm going with this.
No, I certainly think that you're on the right path there, because ultimately, it's just we're not wearing full faces of makeup during the day anymore. That trend has sort of been left in the past now. And as we age in particular, you'll find when you do leave the house at 9 a.m. in the morning, we've got a full face of foundation and concealer on. You catch yourself in the light. It can often, sit on the skin, and it's quite heavy. But also, more importantly, you're covering up you. And I think there's a big social media is playing a big part at the moment in helping women to connect and showcase treatments that really improve somebody's skin condition. And, having that raw before and after up there so people can resonate with that really is helping get the message out there that, if you do have sun damage or rosacea or acne scarring or acne like myself, there are solutions out there. And I think now more than ever, people are feeling connected to that and therefore, seeking solutions as opposed to not really knowing or who to trust, where to turn when they are feeling like they have an acute skin concern. So, yeah, I think social media can do a great job at showcasing, really relatable skin conditions. And then in, we're in a technology world now where we can almost see, click, book straight away. And I think giving people that power and the education is something that we certainly focus on at the Skin Bar, showcasing clients' journeys over the course of 6 months, 3 months, seeing their transformations and how happy they are. It's helping to get that message out there of, just be, you can achieve beautiful skin without having to do all the nasties.
You want to lead us through a transformation without naming names, like, because I think there's value in sharing. For example, if you've got a particular customer that came in with a skin condition that he or she felt was, killing their life, so to speak, they'd been living with it for so long. And if you could just lead us through, like, what the treatment included and what sort of outcomes you had over what period of time.
One of my favorites to showcase and talk about is melasma. And I'm sure there are a lot of mothers out there. Melasma is often triggered by hormones, whether it's pregnancy or contraception. Melasma is a condition that can present on the face like almost like a butterfly of pigmentation on the forehead. Then we have that big brown stripe over the top lip as well, which is it's a pigment over the top lip, and then it also presents on the cheeks. And we transform this melasma with one of our peels at the skin bar. And that transformation over 5 days is a 95% reduction in that melasma. So my favorite transformation, it's on our website now, Instagram, is one of this client was maybe in her late 20s, and she presented, and she was just, quite upset about the fact that she had to, face the world every day and try and hide this pigmentation. You can't treat melasma with lasers or heat. So we've partnered with a product that essentially removes this pigmentation and melasma in 5 days. And that transformation and seeing that person come in a week later, gone from having, a face that's 80% covered in melasma and pigment to then coming in and having this flawless, fresh new skin. I don't like the word flawless. I should say a base that had removed the pigmentation, that had removed all of the melasma, and see that smile on that person's face is truly fantastic. Acne clients as well. It's a personal journey that I have been on. And you're quite vulnerable when you have acne, and I always lean into vulnerability. But when we're in those situations where we don't know where to turn, it's really hard to know who to trust, right? But we have hundreds of women, if not more, that have walked into the skin bar for the first time, had grade 4 cystic acne, had tried every retail product on the market. Had gone to the GP, tried all sorts of antibiotics. And these girls are quite stuck on where to go. And, within 6 weeks, sometimes with a really severe acne, we can see a huge improvement of that acne, really reducing an inflammation, flattening the texture. And then we start them on the course of skin needling to correct that scarring as well. So we go straight into treating the acute concern with our treatments, and we achieve results quite quick, which is what we want to do. There's no point that you ever want to, sign up to have a skin journey and then they're promising to see results in 6 to 12 months' time, because our attention span is too short. We want to see a result now. We want treatments that work, and you really want to, know that the money that you're investing in that is working as well. So the pressure's been on me to make sure that my treatments deliver those results, and they do.
I love that. It's wonderful to see, because these are really difficult conditions to live with, and they affect your confidence. So I can imagine how much you've changed their lives to help them, like they're probably, that layer has shed, of
It's a whole new, it's a whole new
a new
woman's
level up.
confidence, and it's you level up, and it's you're walking out of the house smiling, you're getting compliments on your skin. How nice is it when you do a treatment and people compliment you on your skin and you feel good and you're like, yeah, I know it, my skin is looking good. And I think embracing that as well, it's just another pillar that we're ticking in this wellness journey that I think is so important to me. Working on my skin is just as important as my health and fitness, and having my treatments align with me, with keeping longevity of my muscles and gut health and all of these in diet, and balancing that. When I constantly am getting compliments on my skin, I don't want to gloat here, but it makes me feel good.
Yeah. And if you look at, different medicine modalities like Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine, the skin is an imprint of the internal world.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, all
that's
about,
fascinating.
inflammation in our gut usually presents itself on our skin in one skin condition or another. You have your rosacea, you have redness in the skin, perioral dermatitis, melasma, as I mentioned before. There are a lot of inflammation issues, hormonal acne on the jawline. That's a big one for gut health or hormonal disruptions. So everything does present itself on the skin, and the healthier you are on the inside, the healthier your skin will look on the outside as well.
That's so true. So let's move now to you started the Skin Bar in 2020, and you've had an aggressive, I guess, growth plan, and you're now at about nine clinics.
Got 10 now as of last week.
10. Congratulations. That's wonderful news. So
Thank
what
you.
challenges have you felt you sorry, have you encountered leading up to, this 10th, the 10th clinic, what in scaling the business?
Oh, I mean, from when I opened my first clinic, I was a single mom and I only had debt. I was at a time where it was like fight or flight mode, right? And I found it hard because I didn't have a lot of support around me. I, however, had the vision. I wanted to, get in there and show my daughter what I could do as well. And I think, showcasing that to your kids that you can do anything is something you will always look back on and be proud of. That was the first struggle. Second struggle was really, bootstrapping each clinic, and we don't have any investment. I have funded all of our growth myself. It's hard to do, but once you're off and running and you figure out the formula, it can be, I think you just need to trust your instincts there. Hiring the right staff is crucial. I think, aligning yourself with people that believe in your vision, that we can provide a really great culture for as well. Keeping that culture healthy, keeping the product strong as you scale has been something that I've been working really hard on as well. Because you quite simply can't scale unless you have all the systems in place and all of the education for your staff members to ensure that they have a great career and stay connected as well. But I think one of my biggest struggles has been, accepting that people will do things differently. So not everybody is going to be a clone of me. And I was in a bit of a personal struggle last year when, I'd walk into clinics and there were things that were done, maybe even 2% differently to what I would usually do these things. And I had to realize that, working with a team, people are always going to do things slightly differently, and that's okay. And being in a service space, you have to try and get that as close to 100% as possible because it's that repetitive experience. It's like, McDonald's, their burgers, they have to be the same protocol, the same burger, the same consistency, no matter where you go. And I look at the Skin Bar as having that level of service across all clinics. But yeah, when people do things slightly differently, or you have feedback, it's hard not to take it personally because it's your baby. And I think that's where I've struggled with. I want to ensure that everybody that's walking into the Skin Bar every day, the hundreds of clients, are having the best experience. And if they're not, how do I not take that personally? And how do I quickly go and correct that as well and make sure that that therapist is happy, that the clinic's running right, and the customer has had a great experience?
That's a really important point you've raised around the, because as the founder, the buck stops with you. You worry about everything from the financials, the marketing, the whole coot and caboodle of running a business, So when you were letting go to allow your team, say for example in your clinics to run the show the best of their, to their ability, what sort of training did you offer so that they could deliver at the standard that you wanted, because you can't be in 10 places at once.
No,
So what, how did you get around that? Because I read the other day that there's this, when you run a business, it's 100% responsibility on you. However, your key people, like your key managers or your key team leaders or whatever you call them, they might, depending on their level of, I guess, buy-in, passion, drive, they might operate, say, at 90. One might be at 90, one might be at 85, one might be at 70. And then the rest is what you would or I would need to pick up on. So do you, what's your thoughts on that?
It's so true. I mean, like when you're always running at 100, you do need to pick up those extra 20s and 30s from everyone else as well, but then figure out, because you can't physically do it, how to delegate and break that down to whoever else can tick those boxes for you as well. I stay connected to all of the clinics. I'm flying interstate at the moment, and it might only be for a day or two, but I think showing the teams that you have that presence still, and you are still connected. And me personally, I don't enjoy being in the office. Like, I'm certainly discovered that I like staying connected to our community and our staff members more so in clinic, because that's the front line of the business and that's the most important part. And if we disconnect from that, that's when things will start to break down as well. So I always put the focus on, even with everybody in head office, is the front line is the most important. Us, our presence in clinics is what is going to have the biggest impact on the clinic. Now, I can't be there, so I've hired, I've got my ops manager, I have regional managers, I have team leaders, and I have managers, I have an educator in each state, and I work directly with these people to ensure that everything that I do is essentially as close as possible in treatment wise and clinic wise. So then that filters down, but bringing in, technology, communicating to the girls daily, ensuring that culture's right is the most important thing. But again, like, if I need to train the people that I work closely with to ensure that that filters down to everybody when I can't physically be there in person. And I think the more hands on deck, the better with this sort of thing as well. Some of those older, bigger franchises, you'd have one regional manager managing like 30 clinics, and it's not enough. And that's where that personalization breaks down, is because one person physically, you just can't be in charge of 30 clinics. It's never going to work. Quality will drop, and you need to, we're fortunate we have smaller teams. So most of our clinics are a 2 to 3 room clinics, as opposed to the traditional style of a skin clinic that was, 6 to 8 rooms with 10 to 12 girls on a day. And it's all about quantity and numbers and churn. And I purposely built this smaller model where it's a safer environment for culture as well. We're setting that culture right, we're keeping the girls happy, we're connecting a lot easier. But it also allows me to then open more by having a smaller team, if that makes sense.
It always astounds me when I walk into, say like a competitor, or even say if you walk into a, a medical clinic or any type of, clinic, when you're greeted with, a surly attitude or a, you could see straight away the happiness of the team.
Yeah, as you said, 10 seconds is
10
what.
seconds, 10
That's it.
seconds. And I'm always astounded that the owners of these, businesses don't invest in that customer support service and also, building up their teams. And that's something that's really important to us, because if you don't have a happy front line, your customers won't be happy,
This is the thing, it's so competitive out there as well. There are so many skin clinics, and if that customer doesn't have a great experience the first time that they come into your business, they simply won't come back. It doesn't matter what you say or do on that call afterwards, but if their experience isn't a positive experience, they won't be back. There is a skin clinic on every single corner of every block. We know that it's a competitive industry, it's flooded with clinics. We can't. It's all about the customer's experience. It's as simple as that.
So, in terms of your leadership, because I'm really keen to explore how you view yourself as a leader, because, we've talked about the team. Now, when you started, in 2020 and even before that, because you've been running businesses now for a while, you didn't just start in 2020.
No, 2020 was the first clinic. That was
Oh, I was your
business.
first. Okay.
And before that, I was doing mobile services. So I
Okay.
was
So,
in my car and taking,
how
facials to
gorgeous.
people in their home, while I saved up enough money to open that first clinic. So 2020 was the first time I'd ever run a business.
So, how do you gauge measure your leadership impact?
How do I measure it? I mean, from connecting to the team, right? So I'm actually up in the Northern Beaches today in our clinic up here, and I'm here today to work with the team here because I care. Tomorrow I'm in another location just visiting the girls there. It's all about energy in our clinic. I pick up the call and I call the girls, I call the teams. You don't have to have a long chat, 5 minutes sometimes is all you need, but I feel like I'm hyper aware of things, and I can sense a lot of the time if somebody's off or feeling like, oh, they've had, they might be going through something personal. And it's just about reaching out to that person as well. And not, sometimes it's better to not have managers or regionals call for you, because if you genuinely care about, your culture and your community, no matter how junior the position is, you pick up the phone call and you have a call, and it goes a long way.
Do you invest in like your leadership? Like, do you do courses, whether that's online, reading? Like, how do you, I guess, challenge yourself so that you know, because we don't know what we don't know, right? And then when we see the symptoms, different symptoms that occur in the business, like, how do you then, I guess, challenge yourself to level up as a leader?
Yeah, I think I'm all about self-development. I've read all the books. I often watch Brené Brown's great. The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. I was just listening to that and I loved that. Just always educating myself around whether it's an audiobook or a podcast or leaders that I look up to and value. I absorb information every time I'm in the car. I've got a podcast running, even if it's just background chatter. You're always learning and picking up some things. I have a great psychologist that I work with on a fortnightly basis. And most of the time, there's not there might not be an issue to work through. However, it's self-discovery, and what you uncover in those one-on-ones usually is something that you don't, you can often just somehow end up talking about something that you thought you're okay with. However, always staying connected to people. I'm always trying to chat to my friends that own bigger businesses than me, bounce things around, networking. It's just, yeah, constantly my ears are pricking up to what I don't, being self-aware, what don't I know and what can I be better at? Being a leader, I need to ensure that I'm inspiring and leading my team, and what can I do to be better at that. I think it's being a more authentic person, a more authentic version of myself. So me doing that self-work is going to help my communication with my team, being aware of, potentially communication that isn't easy for other people to take. I'm quite a direct person sometimes. How do I soften that? Who do I need to speak to? What's another approach? Learning other personality types out there. There's, trying to not let my stress and frustration, managing my stress by doing saunas, for example, so then I'm not exploding when I take a phone call. All these different things that I've brought into my personal life is, it's all conscious decisions that I'm trying to make to be a better version. But there's, yeah, there's a lot of things that I guess that I'm doing now I think about it.
Awareness is a throw around word that most people use, but to truly have it is a lifelong, journey. Because I work with lots of different, founders and leaders, and I could straight away pick, and I'm not saying I'm no saint, you know, I'm not enlightened, you know, working towards it, but you know, but what I notice straight away is when I get, I guess, something sort of is alerted in me, I realize, aha, that's control, okay, and that's directly impacting that. So I love that you know, you've got certain, I think, you know, mentors that you work with, you know, because knowing human psychology, I think, is one of the most important skills not only just as a business leader, but as a person.
As a
Because
person,
everything's about relationships and getting people to do things or not do things. Isn't that right?
I used to want to study psychology. I'm obsessed with human psychology, but I think one of the struggles that I have is, when you are, I guess, so aware and alert, and somebody might voice something that doesn't sit right with you or you don't agree in, it's then ensuring that you don't react to that and
Yeah.
try to control and correct the outcome, because that person won't see it the way that you see that as well, and therefore it can then it can become personal. So I think knowing that not everybody has the awareness that you have, not the way that you view things isn't going to align with most people as well. But having the awareness, I think, to just try and do your best to be a better person and try and not react to things that could trigger you.
The boundaries, isn't it? You
Boundaries.
know, boundaries, and women are not great at, well, let me retract that. We need to work on the boundaries, because sometimes somebody will say something like you said that's flippant, and then it's hurtful, and then, you know, and then I stop and think, well, how is that in me? So that's being projected back to me. It's fascinating work, and we can talk about that another time, you know, because I think that's another whole
Well,
new
that's
other
it.
podcast. So in terms of the wellness space, because you were saying that, you know, yes, your focus is skincare and clean skin. What do you think the trends over the next, say, 5 years will be in skincare?
In
Like,
skincare.
what are we looking at? Because, you know, technology is being thrown at us. You know, I'm seeing AI, virtual reality, where you can, you know, where they can show a before and after skin, you know, after, you know, what that treatment could do. What are you seeing, are, I guess, trends?
Yeah, I think one trend that I'm seeing at the moment is skincare, right? So, for example, we've had a lot of 8 to 10 step skincare routines, which
Yeah.
is, bad for the environment, landfill, et cetera. It's overcomplicated, it's overwhelming. I mean, you walk into a beauty department store and there's just so much going on. And I'm starting to see trends now more. And I've actually been working with one of my dear friends, Kelly Thornbury, who's a plastic surgeon, and we've developed two products which solve the complexity of skincare routines, right? So, and I'm seeing more and more of this as well, is less is more, but you just need the right products. So you don't need 10 steps, you don't need to layer. The more products that you don't put on, the better the result, because your skin can only absorb so much.
Yeah.
And you just need the right products for your concern, and that's it. Cleanse, serum, moisturize, sunscreen. That should be your morning and evening routine. So I think gone are the days of 9 and step 10 step routines. I'm seeing a lot of other brands come out with a similar version of this. I think we're going to see less fillers, tear trough
Yeah.
fillers, a thing of the past, I think. Less butt implants, all of these weird
Oh.
that women were, the Kardashians get it, and all of a sudden, half of Sydney had it. I think more selfie-free makeup-free selfies, I should say, where we're putting less on as we
Yeah.
age, focusing more on the skin health and the longevity of our skin. I think there'll be a movement towards monthly skin treatments similar to going to the gym. I think having that importance, and again, I think there's going to be a lot of women that are starting to focus more on doing things for themselves, is going to be a bit of a trend. Exosomes, there's all these great science papers coming out. They're very new, whether they have negative impacts on the skin as well as, positive impacts. It's all there's so much going on in the skincare world, and stem cell therapies. There's certainly some great key ingredients that are evolving out. But I guess when they are so new, we just want to make sure that they've been studied long enough, and the clinical papers show the evidence that you need to incorporate those sorts of treatments or products into your business or personal life.
What do you think of like Skin Bar, for example? Skin Bar, Mecca, I think in Melbourne have a naturopath on site at one of their what's it called, their retail stores. And so it's you don't have to have a naturopath, but do you think that the internal external will also become a possible trend in the future?
I think there are certainly businesses out there that focus on providing like a branch of whether it's a gut health specialist, or there's microbiome testing, or there's stool testing as well. We've got there's a lot of, I guess, partners out there. It's just I think people have such different views. You've got people that are all about the Western medicine, and not everybody that's walking in for a skin treatment on their face is going to have the same view. So how do you have all the options there, and how do then you, because if that's not my expertise, I certainly know the benefits of having strong gut health, but it's there's so many options to out there, and diet and lifestyle and naturopaths can be a working journey. But I certainly think for the moment, if you do have an inflammation concern, that working with somebody closely, or somebody that your local skin bar recommends, would be a great benefit.
So you mentioned that you started out as a single mum and you bootstrapped your business. What advice can you give to women who are allowing fear to hold them back, and not start a business? Because there's plenty of room for everybody, to start a business, because the markets are out there. So what advice can you give?
Well, the biggest advice is that, people will always have an opinion of what you do, no matter what you do, whether it's good or bad. And I think a lot of the reason why, like, I had listened to this great podcast the other day, and the lady was sharing that, for 2 years she had this great business idea, and she held back on launching it on her personal social media for 2 years before she had the confidence. And why was that? It was because she was too afraid of what her friends would think and their judgment on that as well. And I think a lot of the times, you'd be surprised how supportive friends and family are when you take the leap to do something that you really believe in. I think, for me, I jumping on camera for the first time and doing your first ever Instagram story, announcing that you have a business, it is daunting. You are scared of judgment. You don't know how it's going to land. It's the unknown world out there. I think once you just sort of put your blinkers on and commit to doing what you do, and know that people will always talk about you no matter what, that's okay. And you do you, and you have your clear vision and your clear passion, and you just keep going and you don't give up. It's not going to happen overnight. I mean, it, two years I was doing mobile treatments 7 days a week. I was working 12 hours a day. I did not stop. And if I had have thought, after 4 weeks, oh, I'm tired of that, or I don't have any clients, I'm just going to go back to doing what I'm comfortable with, I would have never grown and pushed through to where I am now. So I think, persistence is key, knowing
Did
that it
you
won't happen overnight.
have a figure? Like, for example, you were saving up for your first clinic, right? So did you have a figure? Because This is another thing I find with women is we don't talk about the money detail so that we can then help each other. I went to an International Women's Day event last week. It was run by Rethink Investing, and they're like commercial property developers. And so she, not developers, but also advocate buyers. And there were four ladies on a panel, and each one was so Mina, who's the founder of Rethink Investing, she was talking about commercial property. Then there was another lady that talked about crypto, another one shares, another one was a VC. And what I found was, until we had our private conversations, no one talked about the money and how they got to where they are, because you have these lofty figures that you need in order to get there. What about you? How did you, what was
Oh,
your
look,
figure to start with?
I think that's a really good point because you can often think opening a business, well, I don't even know how much that is, therefore I'm too scared to take the risk. However, my mind has always been, okay, first of all, let's be practical here. It's only me at this point opening up a skin clinic, and eventually down the path, when I have enough funds, I'll have my first ever employee. So I knew from going into other businesses that I only needed two treatment rooms, right? So therefore, figuring out the square meter size that I needed, I therefore solved that question about what the rental overheads would be. I then had to figure out, okay, I need to build some joinery here. What's the cost of that joinery going to be? I need to buy some beds. I need to build a reception desk. And in my mind, I worked out that I needed $40,000 to open up my first clinic, right? Which really isn't a lot to start your own business. However, I had saved up enough money to pay it as it goes as well. But also when I opened my clinic, I had my clients ready to book in. And I think that's why I wasn't so nervous to invest that first amount of money into the first clinic, because I knew I could also pay bills as I grew within the business too. But I think, it's for me, it's easy. Figure out how big your site needs to be, if you need a site at all. Do some market research on rent, figure that out. What's your opening cost going to be to fit out the site as well? Lean on family and friends, whoever you know, trades. At that time, I had my dad helping build. You'd be surprised when you mention to people how many people will help you. It is super important. And, I've been fortunate. I can elevate my spend now as I grow, but I've kept the model small. We're still doing two-room clinics, and you can afford the beautiful green walls now, and realize that you don't need hundreds of thousands of dollars to open a business. You really just need to open and work and be persistent.
That's right, because people buy into you and your team and the results, and then the beauty can come. Like I say, go for the Toyota, the Rolls-Royce can come later, or
Go for the
depending on what,
workhorse.
That's
Be the
right.
workhorse and have all the bells and whistles later down the
To
track.
start with.
I've seen this before time and time again, especially in the beauty industry, and you see it out there with plastic surgeons. It's like they're $2-3 million fit outs for one retail space, and then the doors are open and they think, having the shiniest toys is going to get people in the door, but it doesn't, because it also, I don't know, to me it feels inauthentic. I'm like, I want to somebody where I'm getting a result and I'm connecting. And, I was treating in a hairdressing salon before I opened the clinic, and there was nothing fancy about that. There were white walls, a treatment bed, myself, and the products there. I couldn't even afford to get a product line at that time. But the results were there and I was there, and that's how I built the business, is just by having the result.
Results. Now, leading to the last, our last question, I'd like to get an understanding of what you think the future of business will look like. Just three predictions you think in terms of, and particularly in your space, because your retail, your health, your skincare. So what are your three predictions?
Put the skin bar. Okay, so we're trying to, well, we are opening more clinics this year. My prediction is that we will become the biggest skin clinic in Australia. I see us having clinics in every state. We're in three states at the moment. So growing with the community is something that is super important to me. So look out for more skin clinics. Second thing I think is, I guess growing our community. I really want to grow on social channels to connect with people. That's the thing. Like, we want to have that narrative that is encouraging people out there to turn away from things that they aren't comfortable with. So look out for us online and social media. And the third thing is building out our online digital presence as well. So building out it's almost like a virtual skin clinic where you're connected to a therapist, and instead of having like an Adore or a Mecca that are, I guess, retail products, we're focusing on, acute skin concerns with products that are actually suited for that skin type as well. So trying to figure out how do you integrate AI and build out this digital version of this skin clinic that I have in my mind is something that I predict will be happening in the next year or two.
Samantha, that sounds exciting. That sounds
Yeah,
really exciting. I
it
love your
is.
vision.
Thank
And
you.
where can people find out more about the Skin Bar? What's
Yeah.
your website?
So if you head to our website, theskinbar.com.au, there is all of the information on locations, treatment offerings, our story, before and afters. And our Instagram is also the underscore skin bar for Instagram as well, is our social media presence. We're on LinkedIn, we're on TikTok, or send us an email. We have customer service line as well, but all the details are on the website. That's theskinbar.com.au.
Fantastic, Samantha. Thank you so much. It was so
Oh,
much
my
fun
pleasure.
speaking to
It
you,
was so
and
nice to chat to you. You're a pleasure. Thank you so much.
we look forward to seeing you soar and seeing you all over the country, and
Well,
maybe then, next will be, next region.
The fourth thing is probably overseas, which is certainly
Yeah.
how it works at the moment.
Great. Okay, thank you,
Thanks.
Samantha.
Bye.
Thank you.